بنا وكفى وصلاه على العباد الذين اصطفى ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين اسرفوا على انفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمه الله ان الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا انه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال تعالى في مقام اخر ربي بما اغويتني لاقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله عز وجل اذا اتاني عبدي شبرا اتيته ذراعا واذا اتيته ذراعا اذا اتاني ذراعا اتيته باعا واذا اتاني يمشي اتيته هرولا او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم كما بديت وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم كما بديت رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My dear spiritual brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessed tawfiq, for allowing us to participate in this Jumu'ah. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever masaib, whatever difficulties we're going through, we ask Allah azza wa jal to alleviate us from our difficulties, make it easy for us in this life and the hereafter, make it easy for all the Muslims all over the world, wherever they are suffering, wherever they are struggling, ya Rabbal Alameen, give them afi, ya Rahman Rahimeen. May Allah accept all their ibadat and the day of Jumu'ah, ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, last week we were discussing about remaining on the straight path and moving slowly but surely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِذَا تَقَرَّضَ عَبْدِي شِبْرًا, right, when my slave comes close to me, by a handspan, تَقَرَّضْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا, I come too close to him like an arm's length. وَإِذَا تَقَرَّضَ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا, and if he comes to me as close as by an arm's length, I come to him like a wingspan, right? And وَإِذَا أَتَانِي يَمْشِي, and if he comes walking, أَتَيْتُ هَرْوَلًا, I come running to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doubles or triples or quadruples it, he multiplies it. He just wants to see us make the path, start the path. And you and I can all agree that, mashallah, a handspan is not even a step. It's very, very small. You consider it to be a baby step. You know, babies would walk like handspans. A very, very small amount of movement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not expecting us to do so much. But Allah wants us to be consistent in what we do. We make a little bit of progress every day. If a person were to do footstep by footstep, step by step, eventually they'll walk a mile. The Arabs have this, this comparison. They say about the camel and the elephant. They say the elephant is very smart. And so because of his intellect and his intelligence, what he does is he starts to move a little bit. And whenever he moves a little bit from his town, he starts to look back every single time. And every time he looks back, he goes a little bit further and looks back again. He goes a little further and looks back again. He doesn't make a lot of progress because he keeps worrying about all the steps that he's just made. And then they say about the camel though, the camel is such a smart animal in the sense that it doesn't care about what happened in the past, it just keeps looking forward. And so the camel walks the entire desert and turns around and is like, wow, I went really far. And that's how we should be as well, inshallah ta'ala. Little by little, you don't know that, mashallah, I'm doing this small amount of prayers every day, but maybe Allah ta'ala will expand it and multiply it and make it so great by Him on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor rahim. These two sifat come very much in tandem, in connection with one another all the time in the Qur'an. That Allah ta'ala is the all-forgiving, and He's the all-kind, or all-compassionate, all-merciful. Allah ta'ala gives you maghfirah, and He gives you rahmah. What does that mean? It means that when a person commits a sin, what happens is this, is that first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness, if we're doing it the dead of night, where people are not watching or looking, Allah ta'ala, out of His kindness, He covers it. He covers it. The word maghfirah literally means to cover something. And it's used for, the mighfar is used for a helmet. The same root letters are used for a helmet. Because the helmet is used to protect you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He covers something, it's not because He wants to expose it later. Allah covers it so He can protect you. He protects you from the eyes of people. He protects you from the eyes of mankind. He gives us a chance. He says, I covered it for you. Now let's see what you will do. And then similarly, Allah ta'ala, when He covers it, He also gives us rahmah at the same time. If Allah ta'ala wanted to, when we committed a sin, He could stop the oxygen from coming through our nostrils and going to our brains. Allah ta'ala could stop the air from coming into our hearts. He could stop everything. He could expose us right there. He could destroy everything. He could set an earthquake under us. Or he could open up a hole in the ground to sink us in. But Allah ta'ala, out of His kindness, He keeps the rahmah going. He keeps His mercy going. He says, you know what? Maybe my slave will make tawbah. Even to the point that He tells the angels, don't write the sin yet. Maybe he'll make tawbah. Maybe he'll make tawbah. Allah ta'ala is extremely kind. He's extremely nice. What we try our best to do for people who are just starting their path on Islam is that there's a couple of jobs that we have to do. The first job is this, and we give the example like a cup. Majority of people's cups in the world are upside down, right? And there's a huge like downpour or rainfall. And so in order for a person to catch some water to drink, they have to turn first and foremost the cup right side up. If it's upside down, you're not going to catch anything. You have to turn the cup the right way. And so once the cup is turned the right way, then water will start to come in. Now subhanAllah, sometimes people can catch lots of drops. Sometimes people catch few drops. But they're all catching some water. They're all catching some water. Similarly, when a person starts to begin their path to Islam, what happens is this, is that they open their cups in the right direction, they open it in the right way, and now they start to pray, they start to worship, and now little by little they're catching the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Little by little they're getting a little bit more of Allah's blessings. So it's a little progress every day, but it's something. So our job, after making sure the cup is straight up, we have to make sure that nothing interferes with the cup. Right? We have to make sure that they don't knock the cup back down, that no one comes and pushes the cup off, that no one throws something dirty inside the cup, right? Then make sure the cup is clean. All these things need to be there, so that way people can absorb the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and improve in their Islam. The trouble is this, that while you and I are trying to maintain this cup, there's someone who's coming every single day, every single moment, trying to see when is the best angle, when is this person asleep, when is this person exhausted, when is this person so fatigued that I can come and I can knock the cup down. Or I can throw something dirty in there. Or I can pick the cup and take it away with me. Or I can turn it upside down again. This person that comes every single day to turn our cups of Islam and Iman in our hearts, who turns it away, is Shaitan. Shaitan's job is what? He comes at every single moment. He doesn't like that a person will even go a handspan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't like you're making any progress to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to see everyone fail because he failed. He's a loser, he's a failure. And his hasad and jealousy is the same thing that he wants to give to everyone else in their hearts. When a person is jealous, know that they're following the sunnah of Iblis, of Shaitan. When a person is jealous, they're following the sunnah of Shaitan. What did he do? The first human beings on the earth who committed a severe crime was Habil. Was Qabil, who killed his brother Habil. And the sin and the crime was jealousy. Where did that jealousy come from? Because why? He said, why is my brother's sacrifice accepted? Why is mine not accepted? He was jealous of that. It didn't even matter that his one wasn't accepted anymore. This is what jealousy is, right? That a person doesn't even care if I get it or not. That's irrelevant. I just want to make sure that this person doesn't get it either. That's all I care about. And that is the sunnah of Shaitan. How? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told everyone to make sajda, the malaika, فَسَجْدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. And the ulama mentioned that all the malaika mentioned made sajda. Allah made it very clear, emphatically. All the malaika came to make sajda in front of, all the angels came to make sajda in front of Adam alayhi salam. When they all made sajda, and Iblis was at a very high maqam, Shaitan was at a very high maqam, a very high status at that time. And so he was considered likened to the angels, to the point that the books mentioned he was mu'allimul malaika, he was the ta'wusul malaika, he was known as the peacock, or he was the teacher of the angels. He was the one that even the angels looked up to in terms of his piety and his worship. What happens is Allah tells everyone to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And everyone is making sajda to Adam. The only one who's not is one guy standing. And I can imagine, subhanAllah, imagine an entire football field of everyone making sajda. And there's just one guy standing in the entire gathering. It looks very awkward. Right? Everyone else is making sajda and this one guy is standing. Now, expand that to trillions and quadrillions of angels. There's many angels Allah Ta'ala has, and there's just one person who's standing. Everyone else makes sajda. Allah Ta'ala, He gives chances. That's how Allah Ta'ala is. He's Ghafoor Rahim. We just talked about that. He asked him and said, look, why did you do it? Why did you do it? Why didn't you make sajda? He goes and says, so number one is that the first step, the first khutwa, you would say, the first step of Shaitan, is that he wants people to commit sins. He has steps which make a path. He has his own sunnahs. He has his own, a sunnah literally means in Arabic, it means a path that you take. The path of Shaitan, number one, first and foremost, is that he wants people to commit sins. He wants people to commit sins. He'll make them commit sins in whatever way he can. And then what happens is this. After they commit the sin, he wants people to start defending or justifying what they did. So what does Shaitan Iblis say? He says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٌ وَخَلَقْتُ مِنْ طِينٌ. Obviously, Ya Allah, this hukum that you gave, this ruling that you gave was wrong. It's clearly wrong. It doesn't apply to me. I'm the special case. Right? Everyone considers themselves, when they come to America, to be the special case. Our Islam is special. It's a new Islam that we have. It's a very unique Islam, not like the Islam of other countries, right? We can do riba, we can do this, we can commit the zina, we can have the muta'a, we can have all these things. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But we just allow everything when we come to this side of the world. May Allah save us and protect us. And there are a lot of things, and I stress this point, that people like to follow different people today. And I stress this point that look, if your scholar that you're following is not in accordance to the 1300 years of scholarship that we had, 1300 years of proper scholarship that we had, then you know something might be wrong here. even if they're claiming that they are reviving or giving you a nuanced or a structured ruling for our time, you want to be very careful. If it wasn't the path of the people before us, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, if you're gonna, man kana mustannan, falyastanna biman qad mat. If you want to follow someone, follow the people who've died. Because فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّةَ لَا يُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because the people who are alive, you still don't know if they'll be tried or tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May that same person you're following now may be deceived later on. May Allah save us and protect us from that. But I'm just saying that this is the proper way that we understand things. So shaitan subhanAllah, what he does is what? He goes and says, I'm better. I'm justified. I definitely have a good excuse, and my excuse is what? Ya Allah, this doesn't apply to me. I'm the special case. I didn't do anything wrong. So number one, he committed a sin. Number two is, I didn't do anything wrong. He justifies what he does. And then the third thing that he does is this. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, is that he goes and says, Rabbi bima aghwaytani. Such rude words. Such offensive words, he says. He goes and says, my Lord, because you deceived me. It's not, so he took it from, I committed a sin, it's not my fault, and Allah, that's your fault. That's your problem. You gave me this trial, this is your fault. Which, subhanAllah, if we start to reflect and make tadabbur, right, we contemplate on this, what happens in life is what? The shaitan, his only job is what? He's a loser, he wants to make sure everyone else is a loser. He wants to make sure that, okay, they had a human being to follow, but I want them to follow me. I want to show you, Ya Allah, how bad your creation was. You said they're so great. I'll show you how bad they are. They're going to follow me. They're going to do everything I did. And I'm going to make sure they do everything I did. So then he makes us commit sins. Number one. Number two is that he makes us justify it. Number two. And number three is what? He makes us blame Allah Ta'ala. Because his entire goal is what? The same way he was far away from Allah, he wants us to be far away from Allah. He wants us to be turned off the straight path. And people think, subhanAllah, alright, you know, making people, like, keeping people away from sins must be easy. You know, justifying must be, that's a very big step. And then to blame Allah Ta'ala, that's really big. I'll let you know, from speaking and discussing with people, the number one step of just people admitting that they did a sin is one of the hardest things that we have to deal with. That people just don't want to accept that they did something wrong. Many people just don't want to accept it. Because it just makes us feel uncomfortable that I did something wrong, I'm vulnerable. I'm weak. And that weakness is what makes you submit to Allah. But that's what our nafs doesn't want. Shaitan doesn't want that either. So I will go and explain to this one brother. And I'll say, okay, yes. Your parents are like so-and-so. Or your son is like this and this, right? But that does not justify you being like this. Right? But then they will say, no, but they're like this. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Let them be like that. But why are you like that? Why is it that when you were in an argument with so-and-so brother or sister or whatever, that they did something wrong, and then after they did something wrong, you cursed their mother, father, and their progeny? Why did it go to that level? Why did you take it so far? And they'll say, no, but I was justified because I was just taking vengeance. I was like, yeah, vengeance is with limits. You took it beyond the limits. How's that fair? So people don't like to admit they did something wrong. And this is very common in cases of counseling. And I recommend and I encourage everyone. There's this feeling in like we've done something wrong when we go to counseling. Look, we're already doing something wrong. And what people say is what? I don't want to go to counseling, marriage counseling, because why? Because when I go to marriage counseling, people are gonna say bad things about me. Trust me, you dealing with it now while it's a small flame is better than it becoming a huge fire. And then later on people are saying, well, they got divorced. Okay? Deal with it now, get it done with. Trust me, mashallah, just the barakah, the sunnah of counseling. The Prophet got counseling, alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? No one is free from it. If you need it, you need it. Go and get it. It will help you. Maybe it will save your marriage, inshallah ta'ala. Don't worry about what people will say. People will be happy 5-10 years down the line that you are still together. And it's not because of the counselor, waliyazu billah. It's just because of the sunnah of the Prophet wasalam, that we're following his way. So whenever it comes to counseling, right? Every single time the husband will come and say, everything is my wife's fault. Everything is my wife's fault. You go to the wife, everything's my husband's fault. Everyone is always just one-sided. And then what we try to do is what? We say that perhaps there's some compromise we can make. Maybe it's both sides. No, it can never be my fault. It can never be my fault. Or if it is my fault, it's only a little bit, but that person's a lot. We're never willing to admit it's my problem. It's my sin. It's my mistake. I gotta do something about it. So we have to first and foremost admit it. Number two is what? Then we start to justify. But he was like this, he was like that. They only come in Ramadan anyways. They only come for Jumu'ah. They only come for Eid. Well, you know, who the heck cares? You know, then we say it's not a big deal. La ilaha illallah. Musa alayhi salam, when he asked Allah Ta'ala, Allah, where can I find you? And Allah Ta'ala replied to Musa, Ana ma'al qulub al munkasira. I'm with the broken hearts of Musa. When we break someone's heart, Allah Ta'ala is with that person. And then when we degrade and insult him and violate him, and I don't mention Ramadan just because of this masjid or whatever. No, no, no. I mention Ramadan because that's the time when everyone is so angry. That's when we all get into fights. At that time, people need to admit that maybe I did something wrong. Because why? By me cursing them and thinking I'm better than them, I could invalidate my entire Ramadan. And they could get all the sawab of my Ramadan in Qiyamah. So maybe we should be careful about justifying these things. And then the third thing is what? This is the very common thing. When people go through trials and tests in life, they get so upset that Allah is testing them. They say, Ya Allah, why are you testing me? Why are you testing me, Ya Rab? And then we throw ourselves off the path. We slow ourselves down. All the progress we were making, we end up invalidating all that progress. You don't want to ruin what you've done. You've done a lot. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what happens, subhanAllah, Allah describes about shaitan again, everything Allah mentions in the Quran. Because in terms of describing the straight path, Allah has to tell you what are the things that can take you off the straight path. So He talks about shaitan. He talks about his plans, his steps. And then He talks about where is shaitan. بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Shaitan is not over here or over there. Allah ta'ala says, shaitan says, I will sit on the path of your straight path. I will sit on this path. I'm going to be waiting on this path. I'll be at certain checkpoints. What are the checkpoints here? The checkpoints are not when a person's in the masjid. Many times, mashallah, when people come to the masjid, when they're in Ramadan, when they're in Hajj, mashallah, they come out so pious, mashallah. They come out so great. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. He doesn't check you for that time. He checks you when you get back home, exhausted from the flight, exhausted from everything, struggling and fatigued, and tired and stressed. At that moment when you don't have any energy left, then shaitan comes and tells you to do a sin. Then shaitan tells you, hey, how about this person? He's yelling at you. How about you yell back? This is the time. That's why Hajj is so difficult. Hajj is difficult because of that. Because people will be stressed to their limits. And shaitan will come at the time when they're the weakest. And then shaitan will tell them, hey, now that you can yell back now. You paid for it. You should be able to yell. So then he makes you justified. It's very, very dangerous. You have to watch his tricks. He's so subtle. He'll check at the time you're at nighttime. When mom and dad are asleep, when the laptop is there, when the phone is there, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, Facebook, all of them are there. All the haram is absolutely accessible at 2 a.m. You can do whatever you want. At that moment, shaitan will come and say, what's the problem? Don't worry about it. Allah will forgive you. You wake up for Fajr. And you will never wake up for Fajr. You will never ever wake up for Fajr. It'll never happen. SubhanAllah, it's his plan, it's his trick. He's so smart. I don't wanna praise our enemy, but like he's been through the game. He knows exactly what to do. He doesn't wait for you at the strongest moment. He's looking at the time when you become absolutely weak. And then he starts to target and do that. And then he goes and says this, and you must have heard this, that when people start practicing deen, they go and say, hey Mawlana Sahib, why is deen so hard? Like why am I getting all these problems now? You know, why is it when I'm becoming pious that now I'm going through all these trials? Like this person got sick, my house got this thing got that. It's like, man, being religious is hard. I don't want to do this religion stuff because if I do this religion stuff, life just becomes very difficult. That's what happens, right? People say that. And subhanAllah, like, you know, let's just give you first and foremost, like the way we should understand this. Is that when a person is sleeping on the job, they're likely to get fired, right? Because of the fact they're not doing their work. And finally when they wake up, they're like, oh wait, I have a job now. And then they see that there's certain work to do, and like, wow, this stuff piled up, I gotta handle it, I gotta deal with it. Similarly, what happens when a person is sleeping on the path when they're supposed to be walking to Allah, they were asleep their entire life, and then finally they wake up, and they're like, oh man, why is there all this work here? No, the work was there to begin with. You got saved from being fired, bro. You, alhamdulillah, Allah that saved you. Now start on this path. Right? And so what we need to do is, what we don't understand is this, sometimes the trial, sometimes the problem comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to show you to be grateful. We've never been grateful to anyone in our lives. Allah Ta'ala reminds us to be grateful now. So He shows us to make shukr to this, shukr to Allah, shukr to Him. Thank Allah Ta'ala for everything. You start to thank Allah for the blessings. Sure, someone got sick in your family. But alhamdulillah, for the years of life that I had good health. For the children that I have. For the family that I have. For everything that I have in my life. I have a good job, I have a good house, I have a good wife, I have a good car. Everything is working fine. And you can just go even smaller than that. The fact you have eyelashes that keep away the dust from your eyes, subhanAllah. The fact you have fingernails, right? Someone the other day broke their fingernail. I mean, so much shukr to Allah that I have these fingernails, because they could hurt so much. You know, so many things Allah that gives us that are so small, we don't appreciate them. After having the trial, we end up appreciating these things. So the question, this is what happens, we don't frame the question right. Many times we never frame the question right. We said, why is it that when becoming pious, you end up with so many problems? That's not the question you should be asking. Where should I go when I have trials? Who should I go to when I have trials? This is the right answer. This is the right question. Where should I go now that I'm having problems? And the only answer is one answer. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that when Allah gives us a good blessing, then Allah is whispering to you. But when Allah Ta'ala gives you a trial or a test, He's screaming at you to come to Me. Mm-hmm. He's screaming at you to come to Me. Allah Ta'ala just wants you to be connected to Him. He gives you all these things. You end up realizing this. One poet said beautifully, he said, Jazallahu shada'idah kulla khayr. May Allah the reward trials with all the best. He's saying, may Allah the reward trials for all the best. Because why? عَرَفْتُ بِهَا صَدِيقِي عَنْ عَدُوِي. He said, I was able to recognize my enemies from my friends. You get so many benefits from trials you don't even know. We should just be patient, because why? And I do this to my brothers. They come with so many trials, so many problems. And I say, look, what can I say to you, O brother or sister in Islam, that Allah Ta'ala wants to give you a very high place in Jannah. Maybe Jannatul Firdaus. Maybe with Adam and Musa and Ibrahim and Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Maybe Allah Ta'ala gave you that place, but your good deeds aren't good enough. So Allah Ta'ala gives you what? He says, I'll give you one or two trials in this life. Sure you lose this, sure you lose that. You're going to lose everything anyways when you hit the qabr. That's not going to change. You're going to lose it in this life. So what? So that when on the Day of Judgment, you say, Ya Allah, You tested me with this. Yes, because now you get a house next to Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why would you even complain after that? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We should just submit and be humble to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, after the story of Shaitan, He matches it with another story. The beautiful story of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam. That Allah Ta'ala mentions these two stories about a man and a woman. Because oftentimes we think this is just a man's problem of jealousy, of hatred, of animosity, of cursing and slandering with our tongues, or being bad people with our hearts. No, this is a man problem and a woman problem. Many times our sisters think that they don't have any issues. Maybe our tongues are so bad too, and just we have to think about these things. Maybe we said something really bad to a person, and because of that we invalidated everything. We should go and apologize to them. We should go and admit it that we did something wrong. It's not just a man's problem, it's a woman's problem as well. Both of them went to the tree that Allah Ta'ala said not to go to. And both of them ate from the tree. And after that, Allah Ta'ala gives them the chance because He's Ghafoor Rahim. And He goes and says, Oh Adam, Oh Hawa, why did you eat from the tree? Why did you eat from the tree? They don't even bother. They don't even bother saying, Ya Allah, Shaitan did this to us. They didn't blame someone else. They could have. Because Shaitan kept whispering to us. They didn't go and say that, Ya Allah, we got distracted for a moment. We forgot. We didn't. No. Immediately, number one, they committed the sin, right? This is the mistake. We say it out of respect for the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, the prophets, because why? Because they are shown to do these things out of mistakes to teach us something. Adam alayhi wasalam was going through training. The last lesson on his training was what? You need to know how to make tawbah. You need to know how to make tawbah. So Allah that teaches him how to make tawbah. So then what happens? So Adam alayhi wasalam goes and says, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Ya Allah, we're not blaming anyone else. We blame ourselves. It's completely our fault. We made a mistake. We made something wrong. Alright, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. Who cares? On Qiyamah, Allah is not going to look at so-and-so and so-and-so. He's going to look at you and I. We need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. If you don't give us ghafoor, وَتَرْحَمْنَا. You don't be rahim with us. لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. People think they become a loser after committing a sin. You are not a loser after committing a sin. You are a loser if you don't come get back up and fight shaitan the next day. You are a loser if you don't get back up and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The absolute beautiful thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, وَأَتْبِعْ سَيِّدَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That you, every bad deed you do, follow with one good deed. One good deed. One good deed will erase the bad deed. One good deed will erase the bad deed. Not just erase it out of existence, but anyone who saw you commit the bad deed, on Qiyamah they all forget. Anything that saw it, the trees, the animals, the plants, the buildings, all of them will forget. On Qiyamah you'll come, and Allah will show it on your book of deeds. And it will be a private screening between you, with Allah and you, and everyone else is separate. And Allah will open the book of deeds, and you'll see the sins there. And say, Ya Allah, these sins are here. And Allah will say, Yes, I put them in here to show you that you committed this and this and this and this, but this is my private screening between you and I. I don't want anyone else to see it. Because you made tawbah, and my rule of tawbah is what? No one is allowed to see what you did, only you and I will see it. And Allah will tell that person, that those sins that you did, I change them to good deeds. And those good deeds will get you into Jannah. We have to become people of tawbah. Don't become frustrated. People get so frustrated on the straight path. They get so upset that they made a mistake. So what? You made a mistake. So what? You made 100 mistakes. And Imam Shafi'i said, تَعَاذَمَ ظُنُوبِ رَبِّي. He goes and says, my sins have become so great, Ya Allah. But when I, وَحِينَ لَمَّا قَارَنْتُهُ. When I can compare it to, بِعَفْوِكَ رَبِّي. Right? When I compare it to your forgiveness, Ya Rab, I see that your forgiveness is greater than that. We have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that tawfiq, that on the straight path we can avoid these traps of shaitan. We can recognize his waswasa, and that we don't stop to fight with shaitan, because he never stops to fight with us, inshallah. May Allah give us so much tawfiq, inshallah. For those who make sunnah can do so, inshallah.